This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Munch Madness is presented by Factor. Mitch, eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes.
Wags, when I want to eat easy-to-prepare, delicious meals, you know what factors into my diet?
What's that?
Factor.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
What are you
waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals.
Wags, Factor has two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more.
You said pancake smoothies. I was like, I'm in. And then you added more. I was like, are you kidding me?
Now we're getting out of control.
No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime.
Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. And sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. And Wags,
Munch Madness is presented by Factor.
So what more reason do you need to try Factor?
Head to factormeals.com/doughboys50 and use code doughboys50 to get 50% off. That's code doughboys50 at factormeals.com/doughboys50 to get 50% off.
Thank you, Factor. We love you.
Thank you for presenting Munch Madness.
Thank you for presenting Munch Madness. We love you.
TJ Appleby's RX for edibles and elixirs. This chunky name, which sounds like an old-time pharmacy or maybe a modern marijuana dispensary, was chosen by restaurateurs Bill and TJ Palmer when they opened their Atlanta area bar and grill in 1980. The concept was sold and turned into a franchise just 3 years later, and in a Sean Parker-esque bout of branding simplification, by 1986, the name was just Appleby's. It's cleaner. By 2007, the chain had 1,500 locations and went international in more ways than one, opening locations overseas and merging with the International House of Pancakes, IHOP, to form Dine Brands, the world's largest full-service restaurant company. But Dine Brands' twin brands were hit hard by the COVID pandemic, breaking their dine-in-focused business models as massive dining rooms and parking lots went vacant, and staff were either furloughed or forced to reorient as takeout only on the fly. IHOP even had to take the unprecedented step of canceling National Pancake Day. Then, in February of 2021, as outdoor dining and some indoor dining had returned in much of the country to scattered success, Dine Brands finally jumped aboard the Ghost Kitchen bandwagon, partnering with Frito-Lay and Uber Eats for a concept seemingly crafted by edgelord chefs, chicken wings coated with Cheeto dust. Prepared in 1,300 Applebee's kitchens, the Ghost concept by all accounts seems to have succeeded, with many delivery orders from app-scrolling customers unaware of any connection to the parent brand. But just 3 months after launch, as much of the country is vaccinated and dine-in restrictions are loosened or abolished, can Applebee's to-go-only ghost gimmick sustain? As restaurant business reporter Jonathan Mays writes, quote, "Many of these restaurants have excess kitchen capacity. They need extra income that a virtual brand can provide. But what happens when life returns to normal?" This week on Doughboys, Cosmic Wings. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, along with my co-host, Kowalik's friend, Mr. Slice, Mike Mitchell.
I like that one. Do you think that's a roast? I love it.
Mitch, some context for this. That came from Mark Belko, who says, much love from Sweden. And I worked on the birthday boys, and I saw Mitch being pretty buddy-buddy with Kowalik, giving him small nibbles of cheese, etc., pretty cringy stuff. Smaklig malted, which is the closest thing to happy eaten in Swedish. Roastspoonman@gmail.com.
What's he doing? Did he move over there?
I don't know. Wait. I figured you would know. You worked with a guy. What's he doing in Sweden?
It's Mark, right?
Mark Belko.
Yes. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe he moved over there, but I think maybe he's originally from Sweden, but he a great guy. I loved working with him on Birthday Boys. Now forever ago, so long ago that I haven't seen a ton of people from it. And I haven't seen anyone, Wags, in the last year.
Yes.
So I I don't know. It's great. I'm happy he's listening to the show. He could do, you know, he could do something more productive with his time. between working on the Birthday Boys and listening to this show, I've wasted a lot of this guy's time.
Right. The slow decay of time is really something. When you're just all of a sudden, like, you have those thoughts. And I think the big thing is when you hear, like, there's, like, that movie came out 10 years ago. You're just like, Jesus Christ. How is that possible?
Yeah, I'm also very distracted because, in a good way, because our guest has a cat and I just got eyes on the cat and I can't help it. Oh man, it's a spoiler alert. We'll talk about this cat in a bit, but it's a good cat. Wigs, I go upstairs in the bathroom, right on the counter.
I don't like where this is headed.
It seemed to be placed purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
A bottle of Goo Gone.
Goo Gone?
A bottle of Goo Gone on the bathroom counter. Goo Gone? It's called Goo Gone.
Goo Gone.
It's called Goo Gone. Yes, it's called
Goo
Gone. What is it? It removes goo. And to me, it seems like my mom's trying to drop some hints. She's putting Goo Gone on the fucking counter for me to see.
That's too much goo, Mitchie. Michael, take care of the goo.
She's also blasting Mama Told Me Not to Come by Three Dog. Is it Three Dog Night?
Jesus Christ. Do you know your mom produced the Goo Gone?
Yes. Mama told me not to come. Here's a bottle of goo gone.
Goo Gone. I'm looking it up. The tagline, your goo is as good as gone.
Yes, Goo Gone.
A goo and adhesive remover.
It does it does as advertised.
There's also a grout and tile cleaner and a grill and grate cleaner.
Mm. What would happen if you sprayed you or I with Goo Gone?
Yeah, we'd melt into a puddle like the witch in Wizard of Oz.
All right. Howdy ho. Wags, here's a little drop. Here we go. Oh, shit. This is way more complicated. Hold on. I forgot, Wags. I forgot that this is way more complicated.
We're using StreamYard,
which
is a different streaming app than we normally do.
This is so complicated.
It has some advantages over Zoom, but it makes the screen share process a little complicated.
Oh, this is insane. This is just insane.
You're going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Oh, my God.
Don't stress out about it.
I got it.
Oh, we play the trombone. The brass section can get a little brassy. I'm over here playing the clarinet.
Wow.
I may have been stomped by a few euphonium players, yeah.
Dear God.
A little quiet in the cans, but I liked it.
It was quiet?
A little quiet.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I got the gist of it.
Greetings from Norwood, Massachusetts. Why did I make this? Jonathan Bronson. Jonathan, I can't tell you how long it took me to play this. It took, what do you think, Nick, 3 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking like 5 minutes.
All right, 5 minutes? It was a long, it was
a good
much,
chunk of time that we
had. It was much
out.
Longer than your fucking, than your drop was. That was, thank you for sending it in. What a nightmare. Man, the Doe-a-thon is, it's over at this point, but it's going to be so bad. We're fucked.
At this point, it's in our rearview mirror, but we're recording this in advance of it. It's going to be, we're going to be fine. We're figuring it out. We're going to be fine.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be fine. Well, look, let's introduce our guest, because first of all, I want to hear about this cat.
Yes.
This amazing cat. And
we've been fixated on nothing else since.
Far too much of her time.
Our guest is a writer and actor from the podcast Woman of Size and the show Rutherford Falls, which is now streaming on Peacock. Jana Schmieding is here. Hi, Jana.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. You are, as we have already said, you are a cat mom. I don't know if we've seen this on the podcast before, cradling a cat as we record. Tell us about your kitties.
It looks like he wants to introduce himself.
I truly thought there was going to be like he was going to say hello.
Like he was going to come out with like a human voice.
I have thought about when Wally is old. Ugh, this is why am I telling this? But like when like I like in my mind I've like dreamed about Wally being older, and then when he's like on his last legs, like him saying a human word, like saying I love you. Oh, God,
oh my God. I know. But like, can you imagine, like, he's getting old. He's like kind of like on his last hours, and he just like peers up at you and is like, I love you, Mitch.
It would be the best moment of my life if Wally and Irma were able to express that at some point.
Also, perhaps right. Severely traumatic. Like what? It's like seeing a Sasquatch. It's like one of those things that you're just like, oh fuck, whole reality is destroyed.
This is my reasoning for never, you know, I don't want to see a ghost ever because I'm scared. Like I'm also scared of them, but
yes.
Then just your reality. I mean, then you're like, well, now there's some form of afterlife. There's some sort of heaven or hell, possibly.
It shatters the paradigm.
It's too much. So that's one of the many reasons I don't want to see a ghost. Yes. Don't want to see a ghost ever.
Yes, and I don't want my cats to speak English. that was Shazzy. Shazzy's my orange boy. He is the word Shazzy is my native language Lakota for painted orange. And my other cat is up there in her bunk bed. That's Wilma.
Shazzy is a great cat name. What a great name. I love that. And yeah. Wilma I have not been able to see yet, but I am excited to see Wilma.
Yeah, she's unfortunately she's just not a friend of the pod.
I think there's a lot of animals out there not fans of the pod.
Yeah. Meow, I like Hollywood Handbook.
Oh God.
So you are you have a couple of cats. I mean, I have to imagine that has been nice while we've been quarantined, having a couple of feline companions.
And I got them right at the beginning of quarantine. Wow. So were like cats that were kittens that were found in a friend's backyard, you know, and it was at the beginning of quarantine. So we had to like, you know, figure out how to get somebody out to like, you know, TNR the mom cat, you know, and also figure out how to coordinate like the fostering or adoption of these five kittens. And so I was like, I'll take two, please. Just pass them right along. I've been thinking for a long time about getting pets, like, and what I'm a cat person like through and through, and for years I've been talking about getting hats. And I lived in New York City for 11 years, and the entire time living in New York, I was like, I don't know, like I just don't have this kind of schedule here where I feel like I can actually really take care of an animal, like give them a lot of attention. There's always just been an excuse, and I'm sure the source is like my own like insecurity about mothering something. Like I'm sure there's just like a deeper issue as to why I've never gotten an animal. But these little bitches have been just the ideal companions this entire time. We're ride or die, man.
You're good friends with friend of the podcast, Marcy Gero, and she is also a cat mom. She's got a great cat, and also a believer of ghosts. Swags.
That's right.
A big believer of ghosts.
Oh yeah, we pretty much text cat TikToks to each other several times a day, and then you know at night we share ghost TikToks. So
wow, ghost TikToks.
Yeah, there's some ghosty ass shit on TikTok. Oh my god,
that is Wag's jaw unhinged. Dear lord,
sounds spooky. Sounds scarifying.
Yeah, it's like people catch, you know, strange movement and strange happenings on their their Nest or whatever the camera system that people now set up that's attached to their phone, and it records shit. Like if something moves, it triggers the record on their Nest or whatever. And like, I've seen some wild stuff on TikTok.
I heard an old man's voice on my Nest one time, and then I figured out that it's like pretty powerful and like can hear people outside. So I think that's just what it was.
Okay.
But there was like a stretch where I was like, my apartment's haunted. This is fucked up.
Ooh, but what if that was Wally talking?
He was saying it finally.
Yeah.
Get me out of this house. Floors are too sticky.
You need Goo Gone. So beyond the cat aspect of quarantine, I'm curious, and I feel like I've said this in like six episodes in a row, and I'm perhaps too optimistic, but it feels like we're finally on the other side, or at least emerging from the tunnel that was living under COVID. But how did
can't wait for you to keep saying this for six more months.
Yeah, 2022. Still going to be saying it. But how did that impact your eating habits?
Oh, God. You know, it was interesting because throughout quarantine, I've been going through the process of shooting this show, Rutherford Falls. And our writer's room started in January of 2020. And we did 2.5 months in the actual room, which was like a snack heaven, if I may say so. It was my first time being staffed on a show as a writer. And so I was like, you know, living the life, like, you know, you get snacks writing on a show. There's like, you know, no limit. You also get like lunch ordered for you every single day. Although we were like a pretty like healthy room by the end of the 2.5 months in the room, I was like, no more salads. I can't take any more tender greens.
That's tender greens gets such a bad rap specifically from writer's room. It just is ordered so much that people get sick of it.
I know. I was like, I'm shitting too well. Never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, with 10 degrees, I think I'm just like, I'm shitting, weirdly. Like, I never...
Wow, what's happening? Is this what it feels like? So then COVID happened, and all within the span of a week, on Monday of the week that we got shut down for COVID, I was on my way to the second screen test for the show, being on the show, which was a total surprise, being, you know, auditioning for the show. And I totaled my car. I totaled my 2004 Ford Escape that my parents handed down to me on the 134. I hit some wet road. It like was the first rain of the year in 2020, and like hit some wet road going like 15 miles an hour, like not even going that fast. Thank God I didn't hit anybody else, but I like fishtailed, slammed into the wall on the 134, and
Jesus,
totaled my car.
God,
I was fine.
Yeah, thank God you're okay. Yeah. That's terrifying.
I was fine. I picked up myself. I hit impact hit, and actually driving toward the wall, I like knew it was gonna happen. Because I've been in a head-on collision before, bad one, but like, again, going like 15 miles per hour. So I was like veering toward the wall. I knew it was going to happen. And the thing that came out of my mouth was, oh, fuck. with that exact tone. It's like all of the emotions of like, really today? Really?
Right.
Yeah, that's fucking.
So like,
God.
Impact. Airbags, you know, driver and passenger airbags explode. Never had that happen before. And I'm shocked, of course. I'm like, oh, fuck, I just did this. And then I like do like a pat down body check. Like, I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to determine. But I was just like, is anything
loose or missing.
Right. And I was fine, and I picked up my phone, and instead of calling like 911 or highway patrol or whatever, I called my showrunner Sierra. And I was like, I gotta get to this audition.
I mean, that is
wow.
Just I mean, there's so much pressure just testing for something for people, for listeners who don't know, that's just the most pressure filled situation. Not only do you go in and do something, but they also give you a contract. They basically show you what you will make if you do this, and then if you know, and then you know, it's just a possibility of making this money and being on a show or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like there's so much pressure involved in it, and to have something like that happen during it is just a fucking nightmare.
It's like it was a nightmare, but everything happened in a way that like worked magically. So like Sierra came and picked me up. We drove to the test. I slayed the test.
Wow.
And you know, and then that was the Monday of that week. And then the Wednesday of that week, our EPs, Mike Schur and Ed Helms and Sierra Ornelas, came into our room and said, we're shutting down for COVID, so don't come back tomorrow. Wow. And then the Friday of that week, I learned that I had gotten the role of Regan Wells on the show.
That's a great way to end the week, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. And, you know, it just so happened that, like, you know, we're on lockdown, so I didn't need a car for, like, a couple months. But
what
actually...
What if they were like, you got the part, but you need a car, so unfortunately...
I mean, NBC, I would have been like, thank you, you'll be providing it. They were so fucking cool about it. Like, the day of my test, one of the, you know, EPs that works closely on the production side, Morgan Sackett, who I really love, I did the test, you know, I read with Ed Helms, and I was like feeling good about it. And as I was walking off, like the kind of the little stage that they have, Sierra goes, you guys, she just totaled her car. Can you believe that? To everybody in the room. It's like all these Peacock execs and NBC Universal execs. And they were all like, oh my God, are you okay? And Morgan was like, as I was leaving the room, he was like, hey, if you need any, like, do you need like a car? You want me to call a car service? He's like, I also have like a mechanic or like whatever. And I was like, you know what? I honestly don't even know where my car is right now. We basically abandoned it on the side of the highway. So thank you. But yeah,
that's so,
it's been wild. And so to answer your question, Nick, like I went through this whole process of like, we're waiting for production to even happen. We don't even know, you know, it was 2 weeks where we were just like, what's going to happen? We weren't writing. And then we came back to Zoom, have a Zoom writing room. And then it was one of those things like on the last day, at the end of May, on the last day of our Zoom room, everybody was like, you know, well, you know, show is still up in the air and we don't know when we're going to go into production. So I had like June, July, and the beginning of August just sitting around the house being like, are we even going to make this show? Like, going to happen?
Right.
Yeah. And during that time.
Well, that is like a very real scary Hollywood thing where they're just like, well, this thing happened and it's over. Like the writer's strike, like that would happen where shows would just get canceled. So that's a thing that happens. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And, you know, there was also a threat of a writer's strike over the course of our writing room. And so, you know, I will say, you know, that time off from doing nothing was like pretty stressful for me because I'm a person who, like, I love food. I love eating. I love all foods. I love healthy food. I love junky food. I love it all. But I was kind of looking down the barrel of being the star of a TV show and having myself seen on TV a lot and have and tons of time to think about what that means and what that means to me. And so I was having some, like, real old school, like high school level disordered thoughts about food at that time. And I was clocking them because I've done a lot of work around my body and, you know, my body image and what's going on behind all of that. And I was having these kinds of shitty thoughts like, hey, maybe you should maybe like lay off on the pasta and like maybe we should do some kind of, you know, these things that like, they're not healthy because I'm not going to do them. Like, quite honestly, I'm not going to follow through on any of these thoughts. They're just there to make me anxious and to, like, poison me.
Yeah. That's – well, also, I mean, this is another factor in all this is that when you're in production, it is like you know, superstars have, like, trainers and people who like, you know, personal chefs. But – most actors, it's almost an impossible thing to, one, either get any sort of exercise in because you're filming for 12 hours in a day and you can't leave set. It's just, it's nearly impossible.
Yes.
And like, you're basically going to set, going home, sleeping, and then the next day you do it. So you have like the weekends and also to eat well because you are just basically eating whatever they put in front of you or whatever you can get. Or, you know, like when you are finally home and you're exhausted, you're just ordering or doing whatever is easiest because you're just spent. So it is a very hard time to control any of that stuff.
What's going to happen? Like, what am I going to somehow like lose 50 pounds in like a 2 month period of time? Like, that's definitely not going to happen. There's no way that can like logistically happen in my life. Right. But also like the fact that I even like I was cast on the show as is, like in this body and in this way. So like, how fucked up would it be to show up on day one and be like, hey everybody, like I got my lips dotted, like I'm fucking like, like I suddenly look like a fucking Real Housewife of OC. Like, that's just not who they hired to play the role.
If we ever get a Doughboy show, I'm gonna show up to first day shooting fucking buff as hell.
Yeah, I think we should both just get absolutely jacked.
We're just fucking jacked. So welcome to fucking Doughboys.
I've been mainlining HGH for a year straight.
Yeah. I've been living miserably.
That's almost the tagline to Doughboys, anyways.
Right.
I've been living miserably.
Oh God.
Jenna, I did have something I want to ask you about, which is that you used to be a teacher. Is that correct?
Sure was. Yes.
Okay. Wow. I have to ask, what are your school lunch preferences?
Wow.
Oh man. Well, I never touched the school lunches at the schools I worked in because I worked in the South Bronx and I worked in the Bronx for 10 years. And these are like extraordinarily underfunded schools. Like, it's a real fucking equity issue and social justice issue. The state in which our public school students in urban centers are expected to learn and expected to like eat. Their food was just absolutely atrocious, like of the same companies that are contracted to feed inmates in prisons are the same companies that are like contracted to serve food in schools, public schools in New York City. So it was prison food, and I just hated that my students did not really have choice in that. But as a public school student myself, I grew up in Oregon, and I had I would say like standard, you know, school lunch food. And here's some of the things that I really freaking loved. I loved those like chicken sandwiches that was just a bun and a kind of like a breaded chicken patty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, baby. I would just like put some ketchup on that shit. Gobble it up.
Chicken patty day. That was always the chicken patty sandwich day was always the best. I come from a family of teachers. My mom was an English teacher at my high school. Uh-huh. Also, I'm a proud public school boy. I got sent to private school 1 year of my life because my mom didn't want me to come to the same high school as her. That is the truth. And then I left. I went right back to public school. I did not want to. I hated my private school experience, but. My sister is now. She was a teacher at a public school. Now she's a principal at a public school, an elementary school. And my dad was a teacher as well. Wags, Bill Mitchell was a history teacher, and then he went to law school in his 30s. But a whole family of teachers. I'm the only one who I've taught UCB classes, which is probably the most.
That's
important
pretty.
Of all.
There you go.
The most important of all.
Really carrying on the legacy in that way.
Actually, I only subbed. I didn't really teach classes. But my sister was.
I should take some of those.
I'll
teach you. I gotta learn how to yes and.
I'll do a one-on-one with you.
All right, great. Yeah, we'll figure it out later.
My sister had a lunch schedule printed out at her house, and I printed it out because I was testing her printer, and I was looking at it. In one of the days, she was like, "The lunches are bad." She was saying that the lunches were bad. And then she's like saying every couple, like the popcorn chicken, the kids really love and she's had it and it's not bad. I know. I was shocked at that.
Popcorn chicken?
I know. Yeah. I was shocked by popcorn chicken. It's probably not that great. And then there's like every Monday is pizza day. And that's the way it was, I think, when I was a kid. But they switch up what type of pizza is. But one of the days is fucking Lunchables. They had just fucking lunch. And I was like, Lunchables?
See,
and she's like, yeah, it's fucking awful that there's Lunchables. It sucks. And I was like, how can they give Lunchables? When I went to school, I remember my elementary and in middle school lunches were not great. They were probably prison system lunches, like you were saying.
Yeah.
The same sort of thing. Just not good lunches. And then high school, they were also not good, but like they just also gave there was a place where you could where subs were made. Uh-huh. So you could get some sort of sub every day. But then there was also they served everything with fries. And I feel like it must have changed because they just like would throw out it would be like French toast sticks and fries. It was just like, this is fucking horrid, but no one seems to care at all. And this is also back when, you know, like there were Snapple machines. I mean, not too far from when there were Snapple machines. And they kind of took all those out of school cafeterias, I feel like. But
that was a Clinton initiative.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. did your high schools have like contracts with like a fast food? Like my high school had like a Taco Bell section where the actual like women who were working in the cafeteria were actually like folding our bean burritos if you go
That's
into
amazing.
That.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of tight.
We never had any of that. North Quincy High School lunches were horrid. And I came from there, which was the private school I got sent to for 1 year. And those lunches were like so fantastic. It was insane. Like the private, and there isn't even like a great private school, but just comparatively, they were so much nicer. You could get just a fucking plate of spaghetti and meatballs if you wanted to for lunch. It was in like, and it was good. It was crazy.
I went to Long Beach Poly, which is a huge school. It was like 4,000 students. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't anything like that where there was like an on campus. Yes.
Please tell me you didn't eat any of Snoop's brownies.
Well, we were different generations. He's a little bit older than me.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Snoop Dogg, famous alumni Snoop Dogg, Cameron Diaz, Billie Jean King, Tony Gwynn. It's a whole bunch of celebs.
And Nick Weiger.
Wikipedia page flagged for deletion. But they didn't have anything like that. But they did have weirdly, like they had some stands set up where they would just like have like a whole bunch of McDonald's cheeseburgers. They'd just be selling loose cheeseburgers and then like loose pizza slices. And I'm not sure exactly how all that worked.
Yeah. I don't love loose as the description for those.
Loose pizza slices. We had no fast food crossover. That bums me out. I would have loved that. North just had, like I said, those fucking horrible fries they just threw on with everything. And I can't I can't believe that they would, it can't be allowed. I think that is, this is like an early, late 90s, early 2000 thing that just cannot happen anymore. But yeah, no, it's still bad, it sounds like. Still pretty awful.
Still pretty awful. Also, in my high school, we had open campus lunches. So you could go to like the fast food spots in like across the street. We had a Taco Bell, a Dairy Queen, and a new a Pacific Northwest staple. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of this chain. It's called Burgerville, and it fucking rules.
We've heard of it. We it was one of the options to do, I think, on one of our tours, and we did not do it yet.
At the time,
you blew it.
Well, there was a reason for this. At the time, they were having an issue with there was a labor dispute.
Oh, that's
we didn't want to support
the labor
them. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is hopefully resolved at this point, but I honestly haven't checked in with it for a while. But it is it does have great burgers. Yes.
Oh my God! I'll tell you what's great about their burgers. Their spread. They got this spread. I go to Burgerville and I buy just two plain cheeseburgers, which is like a bun of skinny patty. I love a skinny patty burger.
Yeah, me too.
Slice of cheese and some ketchup and some of their like signature spread. It's called spread. And then I buy a jar of spread because now they sell it like in packets or like a jar or something. I buy the jar and I take it home and I put it on like fries. I put it on like I dip my like cucumbers in it. It's so good.
Damn. Is it kind of like a Big Mac type sauce? Is it a Thousand Islands-y sort of deal?
It's less Thousand Island and more it's like a mixture of mayonnaise, mustard, and like basically like tiny chunks of pickles and maybe some like pickle juice.
Oh man.
Wow.
We gotta go there. Damn, I hope they cleaned up this. We should send in the Goodfellas. Have them.
We'll be back with more Doughboys.
Mitch, Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.00 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good.
Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover, who we love, were the most recent guests as they review Costco's food court.
Wow.
It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths.
I think I could fit about three.
The long way or the short way?
Head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bees to enter a giveaway for an all-expensive-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front-runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends.
And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode.
$50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mitch, how is your social battery right now? Is it drained? Bursting with energy?
Wags, it needs a recharge. I think I need to plug in, charge that battery up a little bit. That's how I'm feeling. I'm just being honest.
Well, you know, it could be for reasons like not enough boundaries or you're just less social based on what time of year it is.
We just did an episode of Doughboys. This is probably a part of the reason.
That can be part of it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some time alone.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, Wags? That's my question to you. Because it's, I think, very little.
It depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, sometimes
but both of us,
more.
I think, need that recharge when we're done.
Yeah, sometimes you need some alone time, don't we all? Mm-hmm. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
You know, Wags, every time I do therapy, I feel like a better person. I get the gunk out of my head. Like we say, hey, go for a walk, you feel better. You get some sunshine, you feel better. Therapy, I feel better every time after I do therapy.
It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/doughboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Doughboys.
Welcome back to Doughboys. We are with Janice Schmieding reviewing this week's chain, Cosmic Wings. Wings, a new kid on the block. Go ahead, Mitch.
I just wanted to say that you West Coasters have a you got the lunch system right, because we did not have open campus. It was very much like a prison. You couldn't go anywhere.
But that's school by school, because my school was very much like, my school had, you know, high fences and cops, metal detectors. I didn't realize any of this was unusual until I got older and was like, oh wait, people could just leave for lunch. Like, I think it just depends
You couldn't leave for lunch, Wags? I thought you had a
no. You had to be, you couldn't leave for lunch at Long Beach Poly until, I think you had to be 18 and you had to get a lunch pass. That was the only way you could leave campus. Otherwise you were locked in there all day.
Yeah, I will say also, I was, you know, I grew up in a West Coast, like, small town. So there wasn't a lot of danger happening around our school. Although it was a very big school, it wasn't like, we did have metal detectors eventually, but like, we were late on that.
Yeah, we had security guards and stuff like that. But just even the idea of in Wise, I know that some of your campus is outdoors, right?
Yes.
See, like,
that actually is a huge difference.
That's great. Yeah. Once we were in like the fucking building, it would be great to walk outside during the day. I just was, you know, for my first 18 years, you're just in the fucking, you're in the fucking little building. It sucks.
Yeah. California public schools are very like, they're kind of like the high schools that you see on TV. It's very, very like open campuses, and like there's like a big courtyard that is where people pass from class to class. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, you're like those high school kids I see on TV.
Like Riverdale?
Like Saved by the Bell.
Cosmic Wings opened in February of this year. It's a ghost kitchen. Speaking of ghosts, owned by Dine Equity, which also owns IHOP and Applebee's. It operates out of 1,300 Applebee's restaurants and delivers via Uber Eats. And its big gimmick is most of the menu is covered. Most of the wings and other items are covered with Cheetos dust, amply applied Cheetos dust. And I learned this. Cheetos dust is officially known as Cheetle.
What?
What?
They call it Cheetle. The substance that you spray on Cheetos is
like
Cheetle.
Don Cheetle?
Like Don, yeah.
Like Don Cheadle, but spelled like Cheetle.
Oh, I don't love that. I like dust.
I don't either.
Now, quick question. Is that how Don Cheadle spells his name, too? I can't remember now.
It's one of those details you learn. The other one I've talked about in this podcast that's unsettling is that, because I worked on a Skittles ad, and the name of an individual Skittles piece is a Skittles lentil. Because they don't use the singular Skittle ever, so you don't have one what? Skittle, you have one Skittles lentil.
Yeah, he's obsessed with this whole thing about the Skittles lentil.
That sucks.
Jenna, are you a Cheetos fan?
Oh yeah, big Cheetos fan.
I like Cheetos, but I'm more. I like Cheetos, but I'm more Doritos. That is my stance. I'm the Dorito kid, Wags, as I told you.
Yes.
My nana used to call me the Doritos kid. which, now that I think of it, she didn't like me that much. I was one of the last grandchildren, and she was like, oh, I'm sick of.
She's like, the Doritos kid's here.
Yeah, the Dorito kid's here. He's fucking annoying.
Great.
My nana, who ran the Mitchell Mini Mart, why? Because I told you, this Mitchell Mini Mart, we used to have a store in Howe's Neck. That was what my nana and my dad's brother, my uncle, they would run the Mitchell Mini Mart.
Wow. That's cool.
And my nana would just like let kids would be like, can I take this? And she'd just be like, yeah. And she wouldn't charge people. So it closed. but I'm more Doritos than Cheetos.
Yes.
But I like Fritos? Cheetos. I like Fritos too, but I'm more Dorito. Like Okay. Fritos, a little too plain for me, right? Unless you get the flavored Fritos, and I think those are fun.
Like chili cheese, for example.
Like chili cheese, which are great. And Cheetos are good, but it's just wasn't like my go-to. And if there was like a bowl of Cheetos, sure, I'm gonna snack on some Cheetos. And the Flamin' Hot, they're fun. They're hot and they're nice and spicy, but never like my go-to. I'm never gonna grab a bag at 7-Eleven or whatever. It's not the one I'm going for.
Now, if you guys were to choose between Cheetos original crunchies and cheese puffs, Cheetos brand cheese puffs, where are you going with that?
This is a great question.
Great question.
I encountered this very dilemma recently when I went to my local liquor store, and they had what I'd never seen this before, Flamin' Hot Puffs. And I was like, do I get the Flamin' Hot Puffs or do I get the Flamin' Hot original? And I went with the puffs, and you know what? I think I made the right choice. Wow. I might be a Puffs guy.
Yeah.
What time was this, Wags, when you were at the liquor store?
Yeah, who's buying hot Flamin' Hot cheese puffs at the liquor store? You're my kind of guy. I like it.
He was waiting
outside. I'm gonna get my groceries at the L store.
He was waiting outside the liquor store like a fucking, like it was the PS5 launch waiting to get inside. You know what? I kind of like puffs too, Wags. Maybe we're two puffy boys. We like the puffs.
Wow.
The puffs are fun. Now, if you get too puffy, if you get into the pirate's booty territory, I'm not having as much fun. That's too much puff.
No.
You've overpuffed, the flavor is gone. But if you still got if you're plumped up and you still got a nice bite to you, then I'm on board.
I love the texture of a puffed rice snack. Like right now in my snack cabinet, I have cheese puffs and Funyuns.
Which are another
puffed snack that is so salty it makes my ankles swell up like I'm pregnant. But like just hits.
They Funyuns are, if you're in the mood for Funyuns, Funyuns are fantastic. They're like their name.
They're fun.
They're a lot of fun.
In the name.
It is. And you know what? Not a lot of onion ring shaped snacks like that. It's fun to have a little onion ring shaped snack. And speaking of which, at this place, I got some onion rings to go along with it. It was like don't you think there should have been? I mean, all right, here's the deal. To get into what this place is, what is it really? Why is it Cosmic Wings? What's the deal that's going on here? But
the brand doesn't make sense.
Shouldn't it have been? Maybe there should be some fucking Funyun coated onion rings. Why not? Why is it? Why is it just Cheetos? Why is this place just Cheetos? Is there any reason for that, Wags?
I mean, I couldn't find the exact origin of this concept. All I could find is that this was like some brand part. I have to just think that like Frito-Lay, they just came to Frito-Lay and were like, what do you got?
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know exactly what the genesis of this was.
I do love this idea that like, okay, so in my mind, cosmic means like, ooh, it's trippy. And then then you take that one step further and it's like, oh, it's a pothead snack. Like, and then yes, if you were to create, you know, not just Cheetle, but Doreetle, Funyuneetle, Funyuneetle, all the Eatles, and coat your, like, whatever, your cheese balls and your fucking wings with that, that would be an excellent move for this company.
For sure.
That to me feels more like a sort of concept where this was like, are the wings just like, That's what I was questioning when I looked at the menu. I'm like, are the wings supposed to be the main thing? And these are like, these Cheetos are kind of like a fun version of the wings that you can get. Or are these Cheetos like the main thing you're supposed to get? Like, what is the deal? And I didn't really understand that.
Well, I'll say the way the menu is structured, they lead with their exclusive Cheetos flavors. That's like the top of the menu. I think that's what they're trying to drive you towards. That's their gimmick. That's their hook. They do have boneless wings and traditional wings alternately, but I think they're trying to drive you towards the Cheetos.
Well, also, you got a parrot cat, huh? That Wally and Irma, they'll jump up on my shoulder occasionally.
Yeah, both of them are pretty parody, but this one, what he really likes is that I scratch his butt.
Ooh. Yeah.
So he'll have to, you know, he perches and tries to stick his asshole like right in my face. And I'll know what to do. Men.
Does he do the butt raise where if you scratch the butt, his butt goes up? Yep.
That's that rules. Cute.
Man. Do you know, I was doing a stream. I was doing the stream in preparation for the Doe-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
I showed Wally's butthole to the stream, which I don't know if it's legal or not. And you know what these freaks started saying? They started telling me to sniff the hole.
Ugh, oh, no.
Good God.
Fuck.
These are our listeners, Nick. These are the people that we're counting on to raise money for the Doe-a-thon. Are people telling me that they'll donate if I sniff the hole?
Hmm.
It's my little boy Wally. His hole. They want me to sniff the hole.
But what if that did make a difference for the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation? Like, what if you could raise some extra money by doing that?
Then guess what?
Wouldn't you have to think about it?
Then I'm sniffing a hole this Friday.
Again, this is in the past. We'll know if this actually transpired. So yeah, let's get into our meals. So I will say that as a vegetarian for this calendar year, this is not a great no meat shall I eat.
Oh boy,
there are not great veggie options at Cosmic Wings. As you might expect, it's a wings place. It's like trying to go to Wingstop. You got, what are you going to get? Celery sticks and carrots. There aren't a lot of options, but they do have one. That is their Cheetos gimmick, and I'm curious if either of you got this as well. The fried Cheetos cheese bites, which are basically cheese curds that are coated in Cheetos and Cheetos Flamin' Hot, and you choose whichever one you want. Apparently, there's a sauce in addition to the Cheetle. So there's a Cheetos-based sauce, and then the Cheetles crumbles on top of it. And they come with blue cheese or ranch. I will say, from a dip and sauce compatibility standpoint, the blue cheese is ungapachka with the Cheetos cheese bites. And probably, I would assume, with the Cheetos wings, too. It's just too much cheese. But the ranch actually worked pretty well.
I got the cheese bites with not the Flamin' Hot Cheetle, but the regular original Cheetle. Oh, I hate that I'm using it. I hate it.
We're
the
sorry.
Dust.
Yes,
Nick,
the dust.
Nick should have never introduced Cheetle. It's fucking awful
like,
word.
It's like burned in though now. and I will say that although I love a Cheeto and I love a fried cheese ball or a mozzarella stick or a cheese curd or whatever, the two together was still a lot of cheese for
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's
a lot.
Did you get these, Mitch?
I got almost everything on the menu, but I got I did the cheese bites, the fried Cheetos cheese bites, not the Flamin' Hot, just and it is a lot of cheese. And I gave my mom one. I didn't tell her what it was. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, this is chicken. And I was like, it's not chicken. And it is just kind of hard to tell what it is. I mean, like, but it's just very cheesy. Mm-hmm. So that texture is so cheesy on the outside that she thought that it just could have been chicken on the inside, when in fact, just more cheese. So
yeah, so the an issue with me is that the cheeses are, you know, they're not all uniform, which is fine. It suggests that they're more, you know, like handmade, but some of them, the cheese was out of proportion with the crumbles. And if there's too much surface area on one of these, yeah, to Jana's point, it's just too much cheese.
Yeah.
And also some of the larger ones, they weren't like fully melty all the way through. It was like, oh, I could tell this just like came out of the freezer and was put in the fryer. And you know, that it's still kind of a little cold and not, you know, kind of hard in the middle. It's not ideal. But overall, still, even though they're kind of abominations, as I was eating them, I kept vacillating between, are these repulsive? Or is this just a bite of pure deliciousness? Is this just like so delicious I can't comprehend it?
Same. I mean, now I was kind of like bitching at them as I was like shoveling them in my face. And
yes.
Did I leave some in the fridge to heat up for later in the oven? Yes, I did.
Yeah, same. I was like, I might finish these. They're pretty. I don't know. It's a gimmick. And it doesn't quite work, but it also like does work. It was a very strange experience. My thoughts on them are still unsettled. But Mitch, what did you think? And let's get into the rest of your order.
Oh my God. All right. So my order is gigantic. I'll say this, that my mom did not like these, and she didn't like them for the reason that I actually thought that they actually did a decent job with, which is she thought that they were kind of too soggy when they were transported, where I thought that they actually had a nice crisp comparatively to other places that where you get wings delivered, or like Domino's Buffalo wings. You know, Nick, we've talked about this before. They're not, they're not crispy. You're not getting crispy wings when you get Domino's wings. It just isn't happening. So I got almost everything on the menu here. I'll break it down into to the apps. You know, the one thing I didn't get and that I forgot to add is that they just give you a free bag of Cheetos, which I forgot to mark.
Yes.
And I didn't get the free bag of Cheetos.
I didn't either.
I know, fucked up. Maybe they stopped doing it, or I don't know what the deal was, but I didn't. When I looked before, it was one of the things on there, and then I don't see it marked on here, but, you know, I kind of want them now. I'm kind of mad. In fact, it might affect the score. I got the fried Cheetos cheese bites, and I got that with house-made ranch. And then I went all over the place with the wings. I'll say my sides first. I went waffle fries, and I got the honey barbecue with the waffle fries just to try some different dips. And I got the onion rings, and with the onion rings, I got house-made ranch dressing and honey mustard. Then I got myself a flavored lemonade, strawberry-flavored lemonade. And now let's go on to the wings here.
Well, let's start with the fries and the rings, because I also got some. I will say that the waffle fries are seasoned. They're not aggressively seasoned.
No, they're okay. It's just
okay.
It's so hard to travel. It's just impossible.
Exactly. 100%. I mean, that was the whole issue, is they were just mushy and they didn't have a great texture to them. The onion rings traveled a little better. The onion rings surprisingly were decent, and I think the honey barbecue sauce they come with is a good dipping sauce. I'll say, of all the dipping sauces, I got five of them, and four of the five were hitting. The sweet Asian chili was the only one that to me was just taste. It was a little too like a spicy maple syrup. It was just a little too sweet.
Yeah.
But Jana, did you get any fries or wings, or rings rather?
I feel like hearing you guys, I blew it on not getting onion rings because I love onion rings. But my brother, who is 2 years younger than me, is staying with me right now. And he's a huge snack freak as well. And so we got waffle fries and a side of all of our everything we just got with a side of ranch. I'm not into like honey mustard. I don't like strange dipping sauces or whatever. So yeah, we got waffle fries, and also I refuse to eat a soggy cold side, so I just put the broiler on and heated those bitches up and
got them smart.
Crispy as hell. Like the waffle fries were great reheated.
Wow. We should have done the same thing. Why not? Especially I feel like when you get something straight from the restaurant, this is the same with pizza or anything. If you do a quick heat, just really quick, little, you know, like sometimes lower temperature, it will just taste like it was straight from the restaurant. It won't affect it.
And not in the microwave, the oven. Nope, yeah, you got to crisp it. And same with the cheese balls. In the oven, you get almost like a recrust of the side that's like on the pan. It was money.
Onion, I'll say this, the onion rings stayed crispy, but Wags, almost for not a great reason, they were battered out. It was battered up. They were too battered. It was crazy. There was just too. They were just these things were so thick, to the point where it's like it felt like you were eating something almost like a dessert. Like it was just very. The coating was so thick. It was right. Did you agree with that, Wags, or no? My mom thought it was too much batter going on.
I wonder if this was a difference between locations. You know, I think probably instantly putting this operation, getting it up and running in 1,300 different kitchens in a matter of months is not an easy logistical feat. And because mine did not seem overly battered, but then again, maybe that was the source of the crunchiness, and I just didn't divine it.
When you're like when the batter and casing of the onion ring is like, you know, three times the size of the onion. It's just, it's too much. Right. You got too much going on. It's gotta be closer. It's gotta not, you know, you don't want it falling off, but you want it to be at least a little bit flaky. It can have a crunch to it, but this was just too much to me. They were entombed.
You also want to taste the onion.
You got to taste the onion.
Was there even a strip of onion in the thing? That's why I didn't get them, because I was like, I know what fast food onion rings are, and mm-hmm. there's no onion present.
Mine had onions in them.
I maybe got Funyuns. There's a chance I just got Funyuns. No, mine were, there were onion in mine, but it was... I wanted the onion rings to be better. But I think that those, the wedges or whatever, the crisp cut fries, the waffle fries, I feel like, if those were heated up a little bit, I think I would have liked them even more. So, the wings, all right, should we get into these fucking insane wings?
Please.
My mom wanted to get some more traditional wings. So we got 9-piece of the sweet Asian chili, and we got blue cheese dressing with that. Wags, I agree with you. That's the sweet Asian chili sauce was a little too much. It was a little syrupy. It was just a little too much going on.
Hmm.
The wings themselves, though, still crunchy enough, like still well fried. Just that sauce was probably my least favorite. And then we also got traditional wings with Cheetos Flaming Hot Sauce wing sauce, and we got that with ranch. And so what did you guys think as far as Cheetos versus the Flaming Hot? Did everyone try the Flaming Hot on their wings or no?
I got both with my Cheetos cheese bites. I'm something of a heat seeker. I like things spicy, but I do kind of think that it worked, at least in the cheese bites. I do kind of think that the non-Flaming Hot, the Flamin' Regular, I think, worked a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get any... My wings, I didn't... I went pure. Mm-hmm. Only wing sauce and no Cheetle.
Yeah.
Sans Cheetle. And maybe I fucked up on that, too, because maybe it would have tasted different. But I have completely opposing positions than Mitch on the wing stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. I got to say, and maybe it was just the franchise. You know, maybe mine, it was just a little, you know, weirder. And the travel time, there's a lot of things that could be attributed. Again, I put everything in the oven just to crunch it up. But I personally liked the sweet chili sauce.
Interesting.
It had a spice to it that I appreciated. And I don't usually like a sweeter sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And I got regular buffalo, like hot wings, and I got boneless sweet chili bites, like those, and those were dope, but I found the wings, the bone-in wings, to be fatty and not fried enough.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Of all the traditional wings, the thing I liked the most was the boneless, just regular buffalo wings. That was my favorite. Right. That was my bite of the night, Wags. And it was just because I was like, oh, these must be like Applebee's boneless buffalo wings. And I'm like, these are good. These are a good app. Mm-hmm. I enjoy these. Everything else, I wasn't too sold on. So the traditional wings with the Flamin' Hot Sauce, I did like the Flamin' Hot Sauce maybe just a little bit more in that, like, it was less cheesy and had a little bit of a bite to it, and it made sense on wings. But I don't know. It was none of it was really doing it for me. I wasn't blown away by any of the Cheetle. The Cheetle doesn't do it for me. The Cheetle doesn't work. The gimmick doesn't really work. But I'm with you in that I was like eating them and being like, I'm having fun too. Like this is fun trash. But it's not worth the whole concept. It's not worth it.
That's exactly, yes, 100%. It's like this would be, if these were on the Applebee's menu and you could get this like with a few different other apps and mains and, you know, it like, but this sustaining an entire franchise makes no sense. I just don't think it's enough.
Yeah. And also give me a Cool Ranch fucking
yes.
wing. If you're going to go cosmic, go Cool Ranch too. Get a give me a Funyun wing, damn it.
We want the Dorito. We want Dorito. We
oh,
want
God.
We want Dorito.
Dorito.
We want Dorito.
Dorito just it's very weirdly close to diarrhea, Dorito. It sounds
oh God.
It sounds like something that like leaks out of you, yeah. Dorito.
After you eat a shit ton of Doritos, you got diarrhea. Speaking of that, I feel like I still have fucking gas 24 hours after I ate cosmic yeah. wings. Like I yes. was just, it was like the wings like hit my stomach and my ass was like, sound the alarms, babe. We got some fucking Cheeto dusted fucking cheese curds.
Shooting fucking Cheeto out of my ass all over the house. It's fucking awful.
It was, this was rough digestively. This was pretty unpleasant.
I got a few different boneless wings. I got the original mm-hmm. Cheetos. I got the original Cheetos boneless wings with blue cheese dressing. And I also got the Cheetos Flaming Hot with ranch. And then, like I said, I got the boneless, just regular buffalo wings. So I got three different types. I wanted to try each one side by side. And the thing I noticed with the Cheetos and the Flaming Hot is that they did just seem a little bit more oily. And that could be the part of the reason that everyone's right. stomachs was getting fucked up is just that, you know, whatever that sauce was or whatever, the way it fried, maybe it retained more grease. But mm. they were definitely oily. And like, looking back on it, I'm like, did I like the regular Cheetos or the Flaming Hot? And I'm like, I've had fun with both of them while eating them. But then when I had a boneless buffalo finger, that was my favorite. So,
yeah.
So, like, they lose out to regular buffalo fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, I think we got a cattail in front
sure
of
do.
Jenna's
Sorry.
Camera.
Wilma
no, that
likes
was great.
To, she likes to, like, make a very, like, unattached appearance. She's like, I'm here. I don't want to participate in your fuckery, but like, just I'm present in the moment.
It was a cattail, and then just we saw a cloud of Cheeto shoot out from
yeah, whoops. I left my cheese bites out on the counter last night.
Well, we should get to our final thoughts on cosmic wings. Mm-hmm. So, Jenna, here's how this will work. We'll each go around, give a closing argument, if you will, on this week's chain, and end that by giving it a rating from 0 to 5 forks. You are a guest. We'll begin with you.
All right. You know, I'm wary of a fast food wing chain. I'm a person who, you know, I did at one point, I did a buffalo wing tour of New York City. Like I put my, wow. I created my own, wow. like cultivated my own like top 10 list. And overwhelmingly the best wings in the state of Buffalo itself, the original, you know,
Anchor
Buffalo
Bar.
Wing mm-hmm. place. What?
Was Anchor Bar, is that one of, that's like one of the originals, Anchor Bar?
Anchor Bar is one of the originals, but, you know, I can't believe I forgot the name of the sports bar in Manhattan that has like the best wings, notoriously. I'll think of it, but,
Well, hey, once the world is open back up again, that sounds like my favorite double of all time, Wags. A New York, wow. a New York wing tour.
Oh my God! It's this is my defense is that the best buffalo wings are of course found in New York City sports bars.
Mm-hmm.
They mm. are like the fryers are hotter. They know their own. They usually create their own take on the buffalo, you know, sauce, and they do the wing right. And the drumstick, you know, is nice and like crispy on the edges. But then you don't get too much of the fatty in the. In yeah. the wing part, and that's something about Cosmic Wings that I didn't love. It was just too fatty, like the texture of that chewy like skin. I'm like, oh God, one of the chewy skin wings is enough to put me off because it feels like the wing isn't cooked through enough.
Yep.
The sauces were good. I appreciated the attempt, but like I said, the Cheadle aspect, or cheese dust if you're OG, is a fun, but short-sighted, like selling point. Too much cheese, if you ask me. I will give it like an extra half of a fork for the waffle fries. I thought that they were bomb. Wow. They like delivered on all fronts that I want a waffle fry to deliver on. So for that reason, I'll give it 2 forks.
Wow.
Out of 5.
2 forks. Wow. All right, Spoon Man, what do you think?
Well, look, I like Applebee's, and you know, these are usually out of Applebee's kitchen. So I think you're real, Nick. I think you really just hit a great point of, if I was in Applebee's and there was a boneless wing platter with Flamin' Hot Cheeto Dust, regular Cheeto Dust, and then regular buffalo wings, if that was like a trio platter of boneless wings, how much fun would that be? I would love to have it. That would be a great time. That's fucking fantastic. Watching some games, having a few drinks, eating those boneless wings, that's fun. Cosmic Wings as it exists is not fun. And it's not even that cosmic-y. You're right. You need to add the Dorito or Funyuneedle. There has to be something else. It's just Cheetos added to a couple different wings, and the wings aren't that fantastic. The boneless buffalo wings were just Applebee wings, and those are good. But that does not make that's not a restaurant concept. That and then a couple different Cheeto flavored wings. And then I got to say this. Well, the strawberry lemonade, not great. Like, just was like kind of whatever. Like a very sugary, didn't taste real. Like, so what is this place? I don't know. Let's see what the cookie is. I got a chocolate chunk cookie.
And, oh God, you got the cookie.
And it's a fucking... And guess what? It's a fucking Otis Spunkmeyer. They just give you a fucking Otis
Spunkmeyer. It's a Spunkmeyer?
It's come a fucking on. Spunkmeyer cookie. You get a Spunkmeyer cookie. So what the fuck are you doing here?
They
what is
sold
this?
Spunkmeyer at my high school. It was another little stand. We had a Spunkmeyer stand. What the fuck?
This is ridiculous. What is this restaurant? What are these ghost
that's
kitchens?
Madness.
Hey, Nick, you know I'm afraid of ghosts, and I'm especially afraid of fucking ghost kitchens. Get them out of here. I was trying to say I ain't afraid of no ghosts, but it didn't work. I didn't know how to move it. I didn't know how to work it into what I was trying to say.
How about you designate yourself a ghost kitchen buster?
Yes,
ooh,
I am a ghost.
Ooh, yeah.
I ain't afraid of no ghost kitchens. I want to break them up and get them out of here. They're not worth it, Nick. Every place we've done has not been worth it, and this is just another example. If they're going to have a concept like that, go all out. The fatty wings. How can you have fatty wings? That's like Domino's. Like you're giving out fatty wings. Mine had some good crisp to them, but still, it's delivery wings. And there's places that do it right now. Like you can get Buffalo Wild Wings or you can get Wingstop. And sometimes you get those wings crispy and good with delivery. So just fucking close it up, Cosmic Wings. This is worthless. I'd rather be ordering from Applebee's. It makes me sad, Nick. And just what are these places? I don't understand it. I'm going fucking. I'm going 1.5 forks.
1.5 forks. Wow.
Damn.
Not a great score. I think part of it is where are these ghost kitchens coming from? It's all COVID, right? Like so much of it is just like we're trying to sustain our business. That is reliant on a big empty dining room. So let's try to come up with a new brand, and maybe it worked, and maybe it kept some Applebee's workers employed for a little longer than they would be otherwise,
which is great. But also, like Applebee's, why does Applebee's just do the Cheetos trio or whatever?
Well, I guess where I'm going with this is I think a year from now, we're not going to be like Cosmic Wings won't be a thing. I feel like once things are back to some relative sense of normalcy, a lot of these ghost kitchens are going to close up shop for good. And But that said, evaluating this meal, I can't speak to the wings, but I can speak to the cosmic. And I just think it was a failure to launch. It wow. just there just wasn't quite enough going on here to justify spending the money for this meal.
A failure to launch.
It was a failure to launch. Thank you, Mitch.
Ooh, yes. attempting to reach the cosmos, but can't get their ship off the Earth. Oh boy! I'm trying. I'm trying to be a doughboy.
I think sadly you nailed it. You nailed it. That was 100% doughboyish.
The problem is that was too good.
Yeah, it was too good.
It was too long. I can work on it. I'll work on it.
No, it was
I'll
perfect.
Tighten it up.
No, it was great.
You heard me ramble on for 30 minutes and not make any sense. It was perfect.
I will say that I don't know. I'm still undetermined on the cheese bites, but I think I land on I would not get these again. They were a fascinating one-time purchase to consume once in my life, and there's no reason for me to ever have these again. And that to me is one fork territory, but I will also give it an extra half fork because there was some stuff that I liked. So 1.5 forks, clearly not a good outing for Cosmic Wings.
Ballpark buds, for sure.
We're ballpark buds.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, hey, on that note, Mitch,
wow.
On this somber note, we'll go to break.
Wow.
We'll be back with more Doughboys.
Rest in peace, Cosmic Wings.
Hey, Mitch, this ever happened to you? You walk into a store and you're like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bottle of wine. What the hell do I get?
Wags, it happens to me all the time. I get wine anxiety. I don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores.
How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in-store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen, costs, and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
As a result, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines at huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker.
Wags, I got sent a box of Naked Wines, and you know what? It was delightful. I had a few people over the Oscars. I was popping reds, popping whites. Everyone was satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they sent over a Chablis, they sent over a nice Burgundy, they sent over a Chardonnay, sent over a Cab Franc, they were all winners for me. Me, I personally like the Cab Sauvignon they sent over. The wine is so good, and it's such a good deal.
They tell me they were sending over a Burgundy, and I said, uh-oh. You ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, you worried it was Ron Burgundy, but no, it was the wine. Naked Wines has been around for over 10 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part, every bottle is a passion product from an independent winemaker, so you are literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true.
Wow. So head to nakedwines.com/doughboys and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in Doughboys for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included.
That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/doughboys and use the code and password Doughboys and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99.
One last time, that's nakedwines.com/doughboys, code and password Doughboys for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Do it.
Welcome back to Doughboys. We are here with Jana Schmieding.
Sorry, Jana. Such a funny, great guest, and we just gave you a fucking shit restaurant.
Yeah, we gave you a really shitty restaurant.
Oh, listen, as shitty as it may have been, I ate a lot of the food that I ordered from there. I'm no stranger to ordering bullshit.
That is, my mom, it was one of those things where I was trying it, and my mom has done this. I've said this a lot on the pod, but she was like, why don't you get a plastic trash bag and just throw all of this stuff in there now because we've had enough and you should put it away. And then I threw it all away, and then at one point she looked over and I was just taking the... I was taking the flaming hot boneless wings out of the trash.
Oh,
and
man.
She was like, don't take it out of the trash. And yeah. I was like, you're right. So I just I tossed them back in. But that still, I mean, it was, there were fun bites to be had, and there is a novelty to it. I love the Doritos Locos Taco. It's so much fun to have
super fun.
You get the Dorito dust on a taco. It's amazing. So you want to love it, and it's a fun gimmick, but it just, that restaurant did not work. It didn't work.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But hey, it's time for a segment.
Wow.
I've got a food-related survey, and Mitch and Jana will compete to guess the results. Let's play The Family Food.
Wow.
Our theme song, the Richard Karn era Family Feud theme, which has a little stank on it, a little twang.
We're snapping along.
So standard rules, whoever gets the most correct without collecting three strikes will win. And the theme compiled by the Drop King Robert Persinger for this week is favorite vegetables in America.
Wow.
Favorite vegetables in America. This is according to a poll conducted for VeggieTracker.com, my homepage. And the top six answers are on the board.
You know, my mom and I have been watching Family Feud. We watch Jeopardy with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're pretty much closing out dinner, I'm going in for that second or third course.
Fishing something out of the trash.
I'm grabbing an old tuna can out of the trash.
Pouring some Cheetle on there.
We'll turn on Feud. We'll watch Steve Harvey and Feud. We have a blast.
Does your mom like it when someone says something raunchy and Steve Harvey reacts?
She doesn't. She didn't like Steve Harvey at first, and now she loves him. She thought, I don't know.
He's a natural fit.
Yeah. He's so good on the show. I don't know why she didn't like him at first. I think she thought he was being too mean one time or something. I don't know. But she loves Harvey now, and she doesn't like when it gets too raunchy. She thinks that sometimes it gets too raunchy. But she loves when Harvey will like, Steve Harvey will like, when a guest will say a dumb answer and Harvey will be like, what are you doing? You know, when he's like, what are you doing? She loves that very much. So big thumbs up to Steve Harvey's Family Feud, Nick. He's got a great iteration of the game going.
We watch it too. It's fun.
It's great.
I was streaming on twitch.tv/Doughboys podcast. I was streaming Family Feud for PlayStation 4. And they don't have Steve Harvey's voice or likeness rights in the game. They have a generic host named Lucky, and he sucks.
Harvey involved. What the fuck?
No, they've got just this animated guy who looks like Mitt Romney, and he has like the worst wisecracks. It's a real bummer.
Man, he's so, I can't believe that the show still works like it does after 40 years. It's great. Why? Have you watched any Jeopardy? Do you got a Jeopardy host front runner?
I'm optimistic about Burton's run.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jana?
I don't watch it, and I am bad at trivia, so I'm a dum-dum.
Oh, trust me, I'm just sitting there getting every answer wrong, but I
but answering confidently.
Yeah. I like the music.
So Family Feud, a great game, which is why that we've stolen their format for Family Food. Favorite vegetables in America. This is according again to VeggieTracker.com. Top six answers on the board. Jana, you are our guest. Would you like to go first or second?
I want to go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm confident, if nothing else. All right.
Great choice.
Six vegetables. All right, here we go. Cucumbers.
Wow. Good answer. I'm going to call good answer. Wow!
Cucumbers not in the top six. Mitch, you have one strike.
I'm shocked.
Mitch, what do you think?
I'm going to go with a big one. I feel like it's going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
Lettuce.
Show me lettuce.
What? No lettuce?
Lettuce not on this list. All right, Jana.
This is trash.
This is fucked up. What are people eating?
I was going to guess Cheetle.
Yeah, America is showing their true colors right now in this quiz. Oh, man.
That's what I was going to say. I think you're both giving America too much credit.
Uh-huh.
It's a...
All right, let me go with one of the grosser vegetables. Let's say broccoli.
Wow, that's a good answer.
Show me broccoli.
That's got to be up there. I'm going to be shocked. What the
broccoli
fuck?
Broccoli not in the top six. It is in the top 10, but it comes in at number 8.
Wow. All right, wow. I got one.
No broccoli.
I got one.
Yes, go ahead, Mitch.
Carrots.
Show me carrots.
Survey says.
Okay, I had the wrong clip there.
Yeah, what the fuck? Okay. Wow.
Sorry, I pulled the wrong clip from the Super Nintendo version of Family Feud. You got that one, Mitch. Coming in at number 3, carrots.
Wow. Hmm.
All right, Jenna, you have 2 strikes.
Shit. Oh boy. All right, I'm going to put This is a real wild card here, but I'm going to give it a whirl. Green peppers.
I like it.
Show me green peppers.
Wow.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Damn.
What
you have
the
accumulated
hell?
3 strikes.
Damn.
Great in bowling. Not so good in family food. Mitch, do you want to try to guess any more on the board?
Yes.
I mean, you guys can keep going here.
I got one. Potatoes.
Show me potatoes.
Oh, of course.
Potatoes, number 2 answer. Now you're kind of thinking like an American.
All right, potatoes. All right.
What qualifies as a vegetable in the loosest, loosest terms?
Throw out all the starchiest fucking things.
Yeah.
I got 2 more that I think could be up there, but I think I'm going to get buzzed on one of them because this is hard.
Okay.
Onion.
Show me onion.
Anything
onion
you can
number
fry.
5. One. Jenna, do you want to take another guess just for funsies?
No, because I'm gonna blow it. I'm gonna choose an actual vegetable.
How about mushrooms? Oh wait, that doesn't count, does it?
Yeah.
Let's see if it does. No mushrooms, not on the board.
Piece of shit. Well, you knew it didn't count.
So here are the remainder. All right, do you want to take one more guess to try to get number 1, Mitch?
We didn't have number 1.
No, number 1 is not on there.
I mean, look, last time tomato is a fruit, right? It doesn't count as a vegetable.
It's a fruit.
Okay.
I mean, it's on here. Tomatoes is on here.
It's
a fruit, but. It's a fruit, but how people answer the surveys. That's the thing in the family.
Wasn't,
I always think
yeah,
of the
but
one.
Wasn't it under the fruits when we did this stupid thing before?
Look, this is how people choose to answer these things. That's when you have an open-ended question and you ask Americans, sometimes they're going to say dumb shit. The one I always remember is when it's like, what name a tourist attraction in France, and the number 5 answer was the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
No, Jesus
like,
Christ.
Oh, people just don't know geography.
Jesus Christ,
all right.
We're dumb.
I have another one. Here's another guess. Pizza.
Yes. I would love it if that was the number 1 answer. It is not. The number 1 vegetable.
Hold on. The number 1 vegetable. Yes. We should get this. Shouldn't we? We should be able to figure this out. The number 1 vegetable is fucking... Potatoes. We eat a ton of potatoes. Not eggplant. Not
beans?
We're in the same.
Do people think
the same
beans
territory.
Are vegetables?
Mm. Green beans is actually number 6. So
oh,
green
wow.
beans
right,
is on
green
there.
Beans. No mushrooms.
So far, you've gotten everything except for number 1. I'm gonna give it to you. Corn.
Corn.
Americans' favorite vegetable
corn.
Is corn.
Corn.
The top 2 are ones you could make into chips.
I can't, I mean, I just,
how we think
I,
of nutrition in this country.
I completely just even forgot corn. I forgot about corn.
I can't believe I forgot about corn. Corn is like, it's the fucking corn is the best.
Corn on the cob is great.
Yeah.
Popcorn. Nick is a popcorn skeptic, which is insane. But
what?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't love popcorn. Okay, please don't leave.
Yeah. She's left. Rightfully so.
As an indigenous person, not liking corn and living on this land is actually the most white you could possibly be. Same with potatoes. Potatoes are indigenous right. to the States. So, like, you know.
Wow.
I love corn in the popcorn context. Popcorn has never quite worked for me as a snack. Mm. I just prefer something else crunchy.
I go to the movies for the popcorn. I don't give a fuck about the movie. I just care about the popcorn.
Arclight popcorn, the best popcorn in the game. And I'm so... you don't like it? Or you do like
it? No, I love it. That was delighted face, my disgusted face.
I'm very sad that it may never have it again. I like, truly, they need to keep they need to keep the popcorn recipe. I don't know what... They need to save that. I'll be devastated if the popcorn recipe is gone. It's my favorite thing, Nick. I love going to that theater and eating that popcorn and watching movies. That's all I like to do.
Also, are you saying popcorn? The way you're saying popcorn is so weird.
This is an issue. We should have given you like a small chat before we talk that I can't like talk like a normal human being. I say things incorrectly.
I do like the term popcorn.
It is. I say popcorn and hot dog. They say and soda and pizza. I'm just. I'm a downright fool. That's the issue.
It's a regional affectation.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Though a lot of other people don't say it around here. I think it is just truly me.
It's just you. Hey, corn adjacent. How do you feel about corn with a K and a backwards R?
Jesus Christ.
Thumbs down from Jenna. Were you a fan, Mitch?
All I can say to that wag is boom, baka, boom, baka.
Thank you. That's all I wanted. Just like a restaurant, we value your feedback. Let's open to the feedback. Today, we have an email from Max in Montana. And Max writes, my wife and I recently got 5 chickens to give us fresh eggs straight from our backyard here in Montana. We're raising them from chicks, and they have persevered in a Rubbermaid box under a heat lamp long enough to be named. We've assigned naming rights for 3 of the chickens and given one the distinguished name Queso. That leaves 1 chicken left, and we would like to honor the birds and the doughboys by asking you to name the final chicken. Anything you want. Drumstick, Nugget, Wow, Gabrus. Give us a bird name, and we'll slap it on a chicken. Here's a photo of the 5 chicks. I will share this with you.
Wow.
And we'll post this on our social media.
Let's see these chicks.
There we go.
Aw. Look at those little chicks.
Let me zoom in a little bit. And the one in the middle, this yellow one here, is the one that still needs a name.
Wow.
This is a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
Hmm.
Jenna, were you ever, growing up in rural Oregon, ever around farm animals?
Oh, tons.
Where are we talking?
Oh, very much so. I grew up around a sheep farm. A lot of sheep material coursing through our house at all times. There's actually like an ostrich farm down the street from us.
Wow.
That was cool. And there was one donkey in the ostrich pen. The ostrich / donkey farm. But yeah, a lot of chickens all over the hood, and, you know, herd of roosters in the morning. It was great.
When we were in Italy, a donkey bit Chankton's wife, Angelica.
Wow.
I don't know who these people are, but that's that sentence.
Angelica, the donkey bit her.
Not Angelica.
Yeah.
The donkey. Wow.
You've met Angelica, Wags.
Of course.
This is, I mean, now.
What about Cheetle?
A Cheetle? I mean, Cheetle is a great answer. Cheetle.
I think you got it in one. You can spell it like dawn, or you can spell it like the dust, but Cheetle, perfect for this episode, and it's
Cheetle.
A win theme anyway.
So there you go. Cheetle. I was going to say, you know, Chankton. I was going to say Chickton. Like a chick, Wags?
Oh, like, okay, yes.
Oh, yeah, thanks. It only took you 30 minutes of giving me a fucking look like you didn't understand what the fuck I was saying.
I was baffled. Honestly, Chickton. I still don't quite get it, but I'm humoring you.
I think Cheetle is the winner.
Chickton's a good pitch. I think Cheetle's the winner, yes.
Cheetle's a great name.
Cheetle
the chicken.
Cheadle the chicken.
You got yourself a chicken to fit in with your five some.
And hey, you can send Cheadle my name and I'll name him for you.
Oh no, Mitch is licking his lips.
I hope to God they're not gonna eat these chicks, right?
They're egg laying, yes. Therefore, they're designated for egg laying.
Thank God. We like that.
If you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, join the Golden or Platinum Play Club at patreon.com/doughboys. Jenna Schmieding, what a delight to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Please come back.
Yes.
The show is Rutherford Falls.
She's shaking her head no.
Tell us about it and anything else
you'd
like to plug.
Oh, yeah. I would love to come back. Anything but wings, delivery wings.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, check out Rutherford Falls. It's a great show. It's the first native sitcom, not the last, on network-ish TV. It's streaming on Peacock, all the episodes. You can get the 7-day free trial and do a little binge.
Hell yeah.
There you
go. I'm a member of Peacock right now. I'm going to check it out for sure. You got to have you back. You're so funny. We got to do that wings tour at some point. Ugh. And we should have talked about some indigenous foods, which we didn't do. We are bad hosts.
No, yes. No. We did talk about indigenous foods. We talked about waffle fries, potatoes. We talked about we talked about corn, both the corn and the one with the K. Both indigenous.
That'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for Mr. Slice Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weiger. Happy eating.
See ya.
On the next Doughboys Double, it's the long-awaited return of the king, Matt Kowalik. Doughboys foil Kowalik joins as we review hunk-filled Swords and Sandals movie 300 for the week of our 300th mainline Doughboys episode. We just can't help celebrating ourselves. Get the Doughboys Double every Tuesday only at patreon.com/doughboys. Want to see the sources for this week's intro? Check the episode description.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.